Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Right now, I'm currently working in aviation. I'm trying to get a career in media. Actually, just give my opinions and my take on different things about sports, about social issues, about politics, everything.
Okay. Where are you from?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas. Are you in the military?
No, sir. My wife is in the military for a few years.
Oh, right on. I'm a vet.
Okay. What about you?
Okay, I'm from Manchester, New Hampshire. It's like probably 50 miles north of Boston. I was in the National Guard for 10 years. Did a tour in Iraq and did some training deployments overseas. Worked on the border. Went to college for psychology, but I always kind of liked social psychology, political psychology.
Okay.
I just like meeting different people and finding out their perspective. Really, I'm interested in the Trump effect. You know, the what's happening to politics. You know, kind of stepping back and looking at just different and ornate ideas. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you pro-Trump or anti-Trump or neutral?
I want him to do good. I didn't vote for him, and I'm not particularly sure what his goals are, but I do think he'll be very effective on the global stage.
Okay.
And I think the more the media attacks his character, the more his approval rating's going up. And I think he's gonna get reelected because the Democrats are just they got nobody, and they've been putting all their effort and resources into trying to link him to Russia by recycling a Cold War narrative. So that's about it. I'm just kind of really interested in seeing what the Democrats poll, who they. And how different politics will be, because Trump kind of brought down the curtain to the scripted kabuki theater nature of politics.
Okay, yeah, me, I'm not a Trump supporter, but mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that the Democrats are using Russia to try to attack Trump on, when there's a number of things that you can attack them on, you know,
right.
And they won't do it. They're just attacking him on Russia, Russia, Russia. Now, if there's something there, we'll find out like in the next few months when Robert Mueller actually releases his report. We don't know what he's going to say, but it doesn't matter. I think we should focus exactly on what's, you know, at hand right now. The Syria thing, I'm against that because I don't think we should be bombing other countries because we have a track record of doing that and then subsequently getting involved with boots on the ground and getting ourselves entangled into a mess that we can't extract ourselves from. I wish that we wouldn't do that. The current political landscape is Trump is actually just throwing things out there to see, I guess, to see what sticks, what he can get away with. And he's doing things unconventionally. Like, you never seen a politician or a president behave the way he behaves. And I wish he would shape up and not do those things. Now, even though I didn't vote for Trump, I don't like his politics, but there's certain things that I agree with him on. I agree with him when he talked about making China, you know, stop the trade deficit that they have with us, you know. I believe in that, him putting tariffs on certain countries. I agree with that. I just wish he'll follow through with it. You know, you can say whatever you want, but just follow through with it. And we'll see how that's going to go. I don't think the Republicans are really in favor of Trump, but they have to deal with them in order to get their agenda passed. So we'll see how they do in the midterms. I don't think they'll win back or keep the House or keep the Senate. I just don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see what's going to happen after the election in 2018. That's going to be a telltale sign of how 2020 is going to go.
Right. Cool. A couple good things there. So what you said about Russia. Well, what we've learned from Russia is, particularly after this bombing, is if Trump was really Putin's puppet, he wouldn't be bombing Syria. He wouldn't be arming Ukrainian rebels. He wouldn't be expelling Russian diplomats. The fact is Putin's... Putin's got more experience in on the global stage. So Trump kind of knows his role with him. I think Trump has some admiration for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the left seems to condemn Trump for extending a different kind of diplomacy. So he's, you know, congratulated Putin on winning, and Democrats shit on him. Like, you know, Russia has been
with that right there. Obama congratulated Putin on winning.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. So Trump is not the first one to do that. And that's what I don't like that the Democrats are doing, is that they're actually like, I'm a progressive, but at the same time, like, let's focus on issues. Like, they're focusing on things that don't really matter to me. Like, if he cheated on his wife, who gives a shit? You know,
right.
That's not my business. That's between that man and his wife, you know. If one of those the women that came out against Trump now, if they said that he raped her or did something illegal, yeah, then investigate and find out if it's true or not. But if it's a consensual relationship, then go away. Don't interview this lady as if, you know, Donald Trump did something to her that she didn't want done. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's you know what it is? It's just trash TV. And there was a poll that came out last week from Monmouth University, and it found that 77% of the country thinks the corporate media is fake news.
Because they have been for a long time.
Yeah, but so, you know, Trump is absolutely right. And Trump understands the media. He's been in the media for, you know, since the 90s when he kind of became a celebrity figure. I mean, his breakup with his wife in the 90s was like on the front page of the Post. It was a real... kind of, you know, he's a reality show, but you got to really think about that on the world stage, how the other countries perceive him, because he's like a caricature of himself, you know. And China's actually, he's well received there, that's for sure. I mean,
I just don't like the fact the media cries about Trump when the media gave Trump like $1 billion worth of free publicity in the 2016 right. campaign. They did. I mean, every day, Trump. Even though you had Ted Cruz, you have other Republicans that were closer to him in the polls, but Trump got all the media coverage because he was saying the most outlandish things, the most, you know, in a lot of cases, the most racist, bigoted thing that people got offended by. And they said, okay, you know what? Let's cover this and let's talk about this. And then even things that didn't really have to do with the campaign, they were still actually giving Trump airtime. So you create a guy because you think that this guy is going to lose to Hillary Clinton, which is who they really wanted to win, because they screwed Bernie Sanders. He got screwed out of that election. There's no way anybody really wanted Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for her. I mean, in a primary, I did not vote for her. I just didn't think she was the right choice. Anti-woman or anything like that. You know, it's just she wasn't my choice.
No, she sucked. I mean, women didn't even like her, and she was. I thought she was going to win. The whole fucking country did. But when Trump won, I'm like, holy shit! I was like, and I was like, okay, something new. This is going to be interesting. I thought our political system would have some kind of a fail-safe. So,
right.
So when that happened, I kind of stepped back from politics because people were, I always just use Facebook, and people were just outraged. He was going to destroy the social fabric. So I just stepped back, and because I'm thinking to myself, you know, we should want him to do well, you know, in that position, rather than just criticize. I mean, he won fair and square. And it's different, and this period will be studied, certainly, and it's going to have an effect on the world. So, right. The other thing you brought up about China, I think now the media frames this as a
trade war.
You know, a trade war. Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it because what's wrong with Trump being tough on trade? It seems like the media condemned him on that. They condemned him on he made a move against China. He's going to piss off the Chinese. You know, he happens to have good relations with Chinese.
I don't like the fact that the media is actually, I don't know. Okay, I'll put it like this. Democrats, they actually used to be for tighter controls of tariffs and all that. They used to be for that, you know, and clamping down on free trade because it was costing American jobs.
Are you familiar with the TPP?
Yes.
Now, what do you think about Trump drawing out of that in negotiating? I think that's a smart move he didn't get credit for.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. I was against the TPP because I didn't like the way it was set up. It was going to cost American jobs, you know.
And yeah.
We're living in a Alice in Wonderworld political world right now, you know, because the Democrats used to be against illegal immigration. There's videotapes out there with them being against illegal immigration because you know why? It was costing their constituents jobs. Their constituents are mostly made up of poor working class people, right? So it was costing them jobs, and it still is. It's costing you a fair wage. You might get a job, and I can tell you this from experience that I worked in a place, a corporation, where they were paying people $7 an hour to do a job, right? A year and a half later, somebody called immigration on that company, and that company ended up getting rid of people, and actually they had to bring in American workers or people with legal status, and guess what? That job went from paying $7 an hour to $12 an hour in a second. So we know that drives down wages. And the people that are on my – I'm part of the left, but people that are on my side, they don't see that. You know, that I'm seen as a person that's not really – left leaning because I point that out. You know, that's a fact, you know. Illegal immigration does hurt the American worker. I don't care what anybody says. I know that for a fact.
So you would say you believe in a strict but appropriate, you know, and realistic immigration policy and border control.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can't have a country if you don't have a border. That's just, you can't. Country can do what we're allowing upon ourselves. You can't just walk into Mexico. You can't do it.
Well, look at what's going on in Europe right now. There's an example right there. I mean, all you have to do is look at that. I mean, the countries that have walls, like Hungary, they don't let any of the Muslims in. They're all flocking into Germany. So walls do help. In fact, the French are they're trying to build a wall now, but it's too late. You know, huge, huge inflated immigration. They're actually funding projects to build walls in North Africa because people are just going there in droves. So what that tells me, and this makes sense, is that humans that are displaced from their home are going to flock or migrate towards more developed countries that have a social safety net, you know. So right. there's the violence in Central America is going to move into Mexico and come further up. That much is true. I mean, Central America is the most dangerous countries in the world, and they're all run by gangs.
Right. So, and Mexico realized that because Mexico don't let anybody from Central America into their country. And because they're being smart about it. And to me, the best way that, like, to me, I would have to be honest, to me, building the wall doesn't really make much sense if you have E-Verify. Because the only way they can work here is if somebody illegally employs them. That's it. If you said, you know what, you come over here, but we're not getting a job. And if you do apply over here, we find out your immigration status is this, then we have to send you back. That's just the way it has to be. I mean, it's a mess right now. The people that were brought over here when they were 2 years old, they don't know any other country besides the United States. So that they can kind of work on. But when, in terms of the people that are coming over here now, we've been coming over here the past few years. And I'll say this. Another thing, people don't realize that Obama was actually deporting more people than George W. Bush. And people never bring that up. That's a fact. That's never brought up.
Because there's a lot of stuff about Obama that's not brought up. Like, you know how many bombs he dropped?
And, oh, yeah, exactly.
25,000 bombs in 2016 in seven different countries. But, I mean, I digress. You know, you're absolutely right. The media didn't hammer. They didn't, you know. And I think it was because he was, you know, he's the first black president, you know.
They didn't want to make it seem like they were picking on him. But to me, Rachel. To me, fair is fair, you know. You hit everybody the same. That's just the way I believe, you know. Obama did a lot of drone strikes that I didn't agree with, because drone strikes typically start other things. It creates a bunch of enemies because it kills indiscriminately. So when you have that, you have other people saying, okay, the United States doesn't give a damn about us, so we'll just rise up against them. We might not necessarily be against them, but look what they're doing to us. So you can't – I don't agree with that.
Right. What else do I want to talk about? Because I was reading a lot today, so I'm trying to sweep back in my mind with the great articles I read. I was reading from The Economist.
Uh-huh.
They tend to be pretty objective on global affairs.
Right.
So I was reading about, like, Hungary and parts of Germany and this kind of nationalist uprising in Europe right now because of their immigration issues. There's you have far left political leaders that believe in strict immigration. So even the far left is like, yeah, we got to seal the borders. We got to make sure we know who's coming in here.
Right.
So
right.
Immigration is not like this xenophobic, racist action, but that just tends to be what you hear from the left, these slanderous terms, you know, this kind of weaponized sensitivity, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem with politics, you know?
The left, you know, like I said, my leanings is towards the left, and like I said, I consider myself progressive, but I don't like the fact that I disagree with you. Call a bigot if you point that out. We can't have that. You know, it's like Bill Maher. Bill Maher always says that, you know, we need to clamp down on the Muslim world, and they need to speak out more and be more vociferous in their criticism of bombings or the Muslim culture for being intolerant. And he's considered anti-Islamic because you're pointing out something that's freaking obvious to everybody. That's obvious. You can't have people treat their women in a certain way and then hide under the guise of religion and be like, okay, you know, it must be fine because that's their religion. You know, that to hell with your religion if a religion subjects people to second-class status because based on their gender or their race or their socioeconomic status. You know, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. I'm totally against that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I see a very polarized country, and I'm really trying to take a step back because you mentioned you were left-leaning, and I think in a lot of ways I'm pretty left-leaning. But when we talk about left and right in our discourse, you know, we have such a binary view, and we do it as kind of like a mental shortcut. So, you know,
simple to break it down. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I look at it issue by issue, you know. You know, and that's how, I mean, that's, I can't be pigeonholed in a certain area. So I have some socially liberal issues and I got some conservative issues that I like. But there's a lot of Republicans that are just fucking out of touch. And I think if the Republican Party is starting to change, the Republican Party fucking is scary than the characters in there. I mean, just look at Mike Pence. Mike Pence is out of his mind.
Oh. Yeah, Mike Pence is like, a lot of people want Donald Trump out. Like, people on my side, they want Donald Trump out of office. But Mike Pence is worse, you know, because Mike Pence agrees with them things that, you know, Trump wouldn't agree with. Actually, to be honest with you, Trump didn't want to pick him. They threw Mike Pence in there because they said, hey, Trump, you're not really a traditional conservative, so we have to throw the conservative base a bone. Here's Mike Pence. But Trump didn't want him anyway. You know, I don't give a damn about Mike Pence. I just don't trust him. You know, he's one of those people that you just couldn't trust, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's a real right winger. And you're right. They used him basically to secure, like, the evangelical vote. Even though the evangelicals are decreasing in their their power, you know, they used to have such a wide demographic. It was very powerful. You know, if you could win the evangelical vote, you were good. They're kind of middle America. I'm trying to think where I was going with that. So anyways, yeah. Mike Pence. See, it's funny because Trump is really an atheist, I think.
Oh, me too, me too. You know what? I think Obama was an atheist, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Obama was definitely an atheist.
I just don't think he believed that shit. I mean, he didn't, you know, and I consider myself to be agnostic. I'm not a religious person at all. You know, I'm just not. I used to be very religious, and then, you know, I started reading, and I started reading the Bible in particular, and then you started to figure out things don't really line up. So, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, I was a very, like, outspoken atheist for a while, and it was good to connect with other atheists on social media. And like I said, I've always been interested in religion and a seeker of that. So I was just a person that just thought of it a lot. And now it just, I look at it kind of differently. I don't, you know, my dad's religious, and I think that Islam is a dangerous religion. I think it is inherently dangerous, and I think it's very, very different from Christianity. Christianity has a very violent history, no doubt. Right. But the doctrine of Islam is so clear in its message, unlike the Bible, that's very ambiguous because it's essentially like a wiki of all these writers, where the Quran was written by one guy, and it was never translated. In fact, the Arabs say that it can't be translated because there's certain concepts that don't translate to English. It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So anyways, and you know, the central message of the book is to kill non-believers. So it's like they're insulting our intelligence in calling them the religion of peace. That's a problem, and it's a problem that we in the United States just don't have to deal with. That's going to be Europe's problem. You know, we should sit back and be glad.
Yeah, and good luck with that, because I have a Muslim family members, and I can tell you right now that they, if it came down to a war between the West and Islam, they would choose Islam over, you know, Western civilization and culture. They just would. They actually told me that. So I know that that's what they believe. And I wish that there were more Muslims out there speaking out as well against what they see out there. And part of me don't blame them, because, you know, who knows? One of those crazies might be right behind them. You know, they might have a crazy family member in their own missed, and they might come out and say, what, you said something against Islam? You know, they want, and then they want to kill him, you know. So they have to be careful as well. But I think that I wish you know, we would handle the Muslim situation better. I know when 9/11 happened and Bush came out and said Islam is a religion of peace, and okay, that's fine, because we didn't want anybody going to kill American Muslims, which American Muslims are a little different because they don't. I don't think American Muslims really believe the bullshit that are coming out of the. They just don't. They go along with it because of tradition. Yeah. We'll go along with it today. Yeah, I don't want my dad to be mad at me, but when my dad dies, you know, fuck Islam. I'm out of this. You know, I don't want to deal with this. I think that's what they really believe. You know, a lot of American, because our culture allows us to be free. When you're free, you can choose whatever you want to choose. Like, if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. Be a Buddhist, be agnostic, be an atheist, be whatever you want to be. But if your religion tells you to kill me, then I have a problem with it. And if you believe it, if you believe that, because there's things in the Bible that says you shouldn't associate with, you know, people that are not a part of your religion or things like that. It says, I'm paraphrasing, but we don't actually do the things that the Bible tells us to do. It says a lot of shit in there that we don't do. I mean, we're like, okay, yes, that's nice, but we're not going to actually do that. Where in Islam, they see something or read something in the Quran and they're like, yeah, we need to do that. Like, no, that's, you're not supposed to. Like, that's dangerous. It's a dangerous, any doctrine that tell you to kill somebody, if they're an infidel, it's a dangerous doctrine. That's just it.
Absolutely. I think that there's certainly a lot of Muslim sympathizers out there, and polls certainly show that in Europe amongst British Muslims. And they did extensive polling after a lot of these terrorist attacks, particularly Charlie Hebdo in France.
Right.
And, you know, they asked, like, what they found out is an overwhelming amount of people that were Muslim were sympathetic towards their actions. You don't draw the profit of war.
So what's your favorite team?
Sacramento Kings, only because I'm originally from Sacramento. They don't have a lot going right now, but maybe next year they could actually, you know, get it together and do something. They have some young players there, so hopefully they can pull it all together.
All right. My favorite is San Antonio Spurs.
Are you from San Antonio?
Not from San Antonio. I'm living in Georgia right now, actually.
It's crazy because I live in San Antonio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a lot of the guys here are like diehard Spurs fans because there's no other teams. Once the season stops, that's it. We don't have any other professional sports here.
I mean, I'm a Texas. I like Dallas. I like the Dallas Cowboys too. But
okay, cool, man.
Yeah.
What do you think about the game yesterday between the Warriors and the Spurs?
I was listening to a debate between Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp the other day, and there was a guy, I forgot his name, but he was on there. He was saying that he feels like the San Antonio Spurs could pull it out due to the coaching of Greg Popovich.
Yeah, that was crazy. I saw that same clip.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I just don't see that happening, man. Not with the talent that Golden State has.
Nah, a lot of people think because Steph is not there that they are not going to be the same team. And I think they lost their last 9 out of 17 games or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was already garbage time for the season. They didn't need to do much more to secure the second spot. They knew they weren't going to get the first spot, but they don't really need it.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah. So they don't need that. So that's why they didn't care if they lost those games. And yesterday, I think they proved and showed everybody, hey, that's why we're the Golden State Warriors. That's why we've won 3 consecutive, you know, Western Conference championships.
Absolutely.
So,
right now, I think the game is tied up. OKC with the Jazz. No, it's not. 18 points, Jazz, 16, OKC. Donovan Mitchell is going off. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's good for a rookie, man. I mean, he doesn't seem like a rookie. He seems like he actually – have been in the NBA a couple of years because he seemed to be already seasoned as an NBA player.
Yeah, he's averaging 20 points a game. Obviously, they want to give the rookie of the year to Ben Simmons.
I know, right? Because I don't like that redshirting a player like that, you know, in the pros. I mean, he was a rookie last year, but how could he still be a rookie this year? I mean, he did get hurt. He didn't play any games, but to me, technically, like, you're not a rookie anymore.
Exactly. You're not a rookie. You're a sophomore now, so it's kind of like. But it is what it is. They're going to give it to him anyway.
So who do you think's got the MVP?
You might not like my answer. But LeBron should get it, if you ask me.
Yeah, a lot of people say that he should get it because he has the one of the worst teams, but yet he got him to, I think, what, they're in fourth place, the third place in the East?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he won't get it because the East is considered, like Skip Bayless always says, like, the East is the least.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a really a powerhouse over there or a bunch of teams that, like the West has. The West, I mean, come on, man. Like, you have to fight hard just to get, like, a third seed.
I don't, the West was pretty tight this year. I mean, a lot of teams, the Jazz are in there. I mean, a lot of teams really came out of nowhere. Obviously, they're going to give it to James Harden.
Yeah.
I could agree with that. I mean, James Harden played good. I mean, he's always on point.
So and see, what's funny about it is that he was supposed to get it the year that Steph won the unanimous MVP, which was a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And then last year, Westbrook just, you know, went for a career high in triple-doubles, and he averaged a triple-double for the entire season. So they gave it to him. And now right. It's, okay, now it's your turn to get it. You know, this year, I guess.
I mean, Westbrook is doing another triple-double season.
Exactly, man. And who are they going up against? You said Utah, right?
Yeah, they're going against Utah Jazz.
Utah. Okay. Yeah, I think who do you think is going to win that series?
I would, to be honest, I don't really like picking because I'm super San Antonio Spurs. I would pick the San Antonio Spurs to win against Golden State just because I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan. But
yeah, being objective,
the Jazz, I would like the Jazz to win. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I think they're like a couple of years, you know, removed from actually contending even for a Western Conference championship, I think, yeah. Which is not that far along. I mean, I think they need some. They need like one more player to complement Donovan Mitchell, and then once they get that player, they can actually do something.
Absolutely. Carmelo Anthony's he's falling off. I mean, he's missing wide open three pointers.
I've never been a fan of his. I don't know. I never understood the hype behind Carmelo Anthony, dude. This guy has never been consistent. He's never been a player that I would even want. Even if they got him for half the price that he wanted, I wouldn't even get him. Like, why? This guy's never proven anything. He always looked like his name. He looks mellow all the time. You know, he doesn't excite anybody. What's wrong with this guy, dude? He's never done anything for me, so I don't see why the hype is around him. I mean, maybe you could explain it, but I don't get it.
You know, he came in with LeBron, and everybody thought that Carmelo was going to be better than LeBron. Obviously, that didn't work out very well.
Because he won a national championship.
Yeah, because, he went to college, and he got the college experience. He went to the Nuggets, and he had a good – he started off pretty good, but it didn't end up well. Now he's on OKC, and he's still – he's averaging 16 points a game. He's a ball hawk.
Exactly.
If he's not playing with Russell Westbrook, he's a ball hawk. But, okay, they're showing some highlights from him now. He made a couple points so far.
Yeah, see, I don't get it. Like, he's going to end up being one of those players that just jump from team to team. You know, he's going to be a journeyman. He's going to be a 33 or 34-year-old journeyman that's going around trying to get a championship, and he's going to try to go to the best team at when he's like 39 years old and jump over there so he can get a championship.
Right.
Like, I was done with him when he had mentioned something. I think it was a couple of years ago when we had the Olympics. And he's like, yeah, I got 3 gold medals, and that's sufficient for me. Like, that's good. That's my equivalent of
it. Yeah, like, I remember that.
Man.
I mean, a lot of the players
like, this guy like already that. Checked out already, bro.
Yeah, he's like, I made the money. I got some Olympic gold medals. But I'm never going to win a ring. OKC's not winning a ring this year.
No. I mean, Some people actually picked him. I think it was Skip Bayless that actually picked the finals as the OKC Thunder versus the 76ers. Now, I can see the 76ers making it a lot more than I can see OKC. They're not going to get through Golden State. They're not going to get through Houston.
Right.
They're not going to even get through I don't think they're going to get through Utah. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching it now, and it's a tight game, 25-25, and it's just like they don't have that gel, that chemistry that I would like in a basketball team.
Right. And you know what's funny? We had this conversation about them. We never mentioned Paul George. This guy is the most overrated person ever, dude. Like, he's more overrated than Carmelo.
I tell my friend that all the time. He's like, man, why are you being so disrespectful? Man, Paul George, oh, well, Paul George took the Miami Heat to six games in the final, you know. It was like, okay, they still lost.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? What the hell does that mean? Like, he took him to, like, game six of the final. Like, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They lost. He lost against LeBron James. He's always going to lose against LeBron James.
Was it last year when he made that comment? I think I stopped being a fan of his when he made that comment. They're playing against some team, right? I think it was Cleveland. I'm not sure. It was in the playoffs, and they needed, I think, a three-pointer or a two-pointer to win the game. I don't know. But one of the teammates of his took the last shot and not Paul George.
Okay.
And so Paul George went out there in the media during the post game and said, yeah, I got to take that last shot. I got to be the one to take that last
shot. Yeah, he was saying.
And then, you know, people have, you know, DVRs. People have stats they keep track of. It turns out that this guy has never, ever – hit a game-winning shot. He's like 0-16. And you're telling this man, he's like, well, I just did the same thing you did 16 times ago, you know? Like, yeah. Come on.
I mean, it's not comparable. He's okay. He's always just been okay. And I've never given him a whole lot of credit because he's just always been okay. You got superstars, you got all-stars, and he's an all-star. He's not a superstar, you know?
Yeah. You're right. You got superstars, you got all stars, and you got stars.
Yeah.
He might be a star, you know.
He might just be that.
Yeah, he might be that bronze medal star like Carmelo, and that's probably just who he is. I know he wants to go to LA, and what's crazy about it is LA has so much homegrown talent because you have Westbrook, you have James Harden, you have Paul George, you have Kawhi Leonard. So that they're thinking like they could get at least two of those players to go to the Lakers and play. And I think that's maybe what the Lakers need. They need just a person that's a better than average star to make that team get to where it needs to be.
I could see Kawhi Leonard going to the Lakers. Obviously, he's not playing in the playoffs right now.
Now, he's checked out of here, man. I don't think he wants to play in San Antonio anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Why do you think so?
Well, it could it's a couple of different reasons that you could say that. Maybe his injury, like I was speaking about this earlier today, and I was saying maybe since the doctors have already gave him clearance that he could play, he's the only person that really knows his injury. So maybe when he does go out there and he does drive to the basket and slash to the basket, maybe the quad injury actually does hurt. And if that's the case, he's going to end up like Isaiah Thomas. He's going to lose status. He's going to lose money. Due to an injury.
Wow.
You know, Isaiah Thomas came out with an injury, and I don't think Isaiah Thomas got surgery. He usually does rehab. So when that happens, you know, you don't have the same explosion. So it's possible, you know, he really could have a serious injury that could be hindering him and hindering his game a lot. If he goes to L.A., I don't know what that's going to do. I don't know if Paul George goes to L.A. I mean, it's just like two Paul Georges on the same team.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, I would rather pick Kawhi over Paul George.
Yeah, I like Kawhi too.
Yeah, Kawhi is like, to me, just an all-around player. And Paul George, I mean, he's not a bad player. He's overrated. And yeah. I think he believes his hype more than he believes who he actually is. And he could work on some things.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, well, everybody's telling me I'm this, I'm that. So why not just be that in my mind, but not physically be that person? Because he's not working on it. And I don't get it because I was a fan of his, you know. But
yeah. A lot of players don't work on their craft. They work off what they already have. Like Carmelo, I could see Carmelo doesn't go to the gym. He doesn't train.
He's just sloppy looking, right? He's a sloppy guy.
Yeah. So we got the Indiana Pacers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers.
What?
By 18 points.
That was today.
Yeah, that just happened before this.
Wow, man. Like I said, I've been at work here, but I'm a big sports fan. But you know what? Now that I think of it, it's not so shocking. I don't think Cleveland has it. I really think Skip Bayless got it right when he said that the Sixers are going to take the East. I think it's either the Sixers or Boston. I don't see Toronto as an actual threat. I don't think they're going to do much.
Boston, they beat the Bucks today. But Boston, they're without stars. They just have, you know, really good players. But even Marcus Smart's not playing. He's he has an injured thumb or something like that. But I could agree with the 76ers making it out of the East. They're the only people that I could see beating the Cavaliers in the semi-conference finals. But what I'm seeing right now is the Indiana Pacers just beat them by 18 points. I mean, Victor Oladipo had 32 points. LeBron had a triple-double in the loss, which is crazy, 24, 10, and 12.
Wow.
And Kevin Love, he didn't even score double digits. The only other people that scored double digits was J.R. Smith with 15 and Larry Nance with 10.
You see, he's another one. Kevin Love, he's one that he's just too, inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't really win a championship. They got lucky with the Golden State championship that they won a couple years ago because that really belonged to the Warriors. Because had Draymond not gotten suspended,
right,
I think they would have bounced him in 5 games like they did last year. And that would have kept the order of power in place in the Western Conference because Kevin Durant would have never went to OKC. I mean, never went to Golden State. He would have stayed in OKC.
You think so?
Yeah. And think about it. OKC, I think Oladipo is from OKC, right?
Oladipo was in OKC.
Okay, so you had him, you had Kevin Durant, you got Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Serge Ibaka. How can they not keep those people together and run the West and run the NBA for like the next 5-6 years?
Well, I think Oladipo came after Kevin left.
Oh, okay.
He came after Kevin left. It was Kevin, James Harden, and then Russell Westbrook. But there was Serge Ibaka and who else was it? They had a star cast. I mean, they should have won against Golden State when they played them. They didn't.
Yeah. I think so too. Hey, I'm gonna put another one of these out, man. I'm gonna like your video, and maybe we can do another one of these.
Absolutely, man. I'm gonna be smoking a blunt later, so.
Okay. All right, bro.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.